Listen, God wants you well more than you want to be well. He wants you to prosper and be in health, come on, even as your soul prospers. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will get sicker. Is that what it said? We're going to lay hands on the sick and what? They will recover.
Amen.
Praise God. This is the power of the Word of God.
Healings are going to start to happen and manifest. They're happening today at Healing School. Are you expecting? Is anybody expecting?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it.
That's when the light switched on. God manifested in flesh, didn't come to impress, just came to his home. We like sheep went astray, but a cross made a way. Love called us home, called us home. Sons and daughters, heirs to the throne. Healing, freedom, faith in Christ has made you whole.
Close my eyes to see you once again, to feel the warmth of your embrace. I'm surrounded by your grace. I can hear you whisper in the wind. Your word has set me free from fear. You've wiped away my tears. I just wanna see you.
The girl is not dead, but sleeping. Talita, come, little girl, arise.
I just wanna see you. When your hope is gone,
and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. Jesus is the same, yesterday, today, and forever.
Hallelujah. Jesus is the same yesterday and today. Amen. Welcome to Charis Bible College Healing School. Those of you that are watching us online, we thank you so much. We appreciate you watching us today. We started at 1:30 today because we are smack dab in the middle of Healing is Here 2022. So we have got some excited people in the room. We have got some people that are just, I mean, they sold out for Jesus. How many of you, you've never been to Healing School before? You've never been here live? Oh my goodness, amen. Yes, I remember my sister from Philadelphia. We are so glad that you could join us today. And like I said, we are right in the middle of Healing is Here. If you're tuning in to Healing School and you did not know that we were having the conference, I encourage you to stay tuned. Of course, we're going to have a panel of our guest speakers that have been here. So you're going to get to be here for that. Also, we're doing live questions. So if you want to get your questions in, put those questions in. It's live questions at awmcharis.com. It's still time. Live questions at awmcharis.com. Amen. Amen. Well, I want you to also know, even though we're in the midst of our conference here, the Healing is Here conference, we have another conference coming up, and it is the Truth and Liberty Coalition Conference. And it, amen. Amen. It's going to be September 8th to the 10th. And you know, we have a lot of events that are going to be happening here on campus. So I encourage you to go to awmi.net/events. You can see all of the locations where Andrew's going to be. He might even be in an area near you. So we definitely want you to do that. Also, I want you to get excited about testimonies. We had a lot of testimonies happening here for this conference, but I actually have some testimonies that I wanted to read for you as well that were happening. This is from Georgina, and she said, I had some funny feelings and some pain in my body, but it's all now gone. I was feeling numbness in my fingers, but now everything's okay. I followed the preaching. And I joined the healing sessions that we were doing here at Healing School. And I keep giving God praise. To God be the glory. I am healed. I am healed. Amen. Mary said that I have been suffering for the past 24 hours with a horrible, horrible migraine, painful congestion in my head, around my eyes, mucus in my throat. But while watching Healing School, the congestion all gone, headache is gone, she said, and I'm claiming it will never return. Amen? We need to have an attitude. We need to have an attitude about it. Don't let all these sickness and these pains sit in your seat, as Carly told us. We're not going to let them sit in our seat, right? Because we are the healed of God. So what I want to do now is I want to give away product. We have been giving away stuff all this week. We enjoy giving things away. Those of you that are here, I want you to know that this is what I'm giving away. This was actually from our 2019 Healing is Here, when we had the baby that was, I think Andrew made mention of it, the baby that was raised from the dead on the stage. One of my prayer ministers, he said that because they were sitting right in front, he saw the woman when she brought her son up here, and he already saw the baby blue. Carly said that she could smell death in the atmosphere, and she went to attack that. Come on now. We're raising babies from the dead. Come on. And there's no sickness. There's nothing that you got. Come on. It's already done. So this is a DVD from that year from our Healing is Here conference. So at this time, I'm going to have Isabella. She's going to give this away for me. Isabella, that's my assistant. Or should I say, that's me and Daniel. Daniel's got two of us. I also wanted to give this away. This is called Shaping Your Future, Releasing the Destiny Through the Power of the Seed. This is actually Barry Bennett's newest book. Juergen is going to give that away. We all know that God wants us well. This is the DVD of Andrew's teaching on God Wants You Well. The death and the resurrection of Jesus provided more than just forgiveness of sins. Amen? He wants us well. Juergen, you can give this away. This is a CD of that same Healing Is Here conference in 2019. I am doing a speed round because I want all those questions answered. This book, I believe this is Pastor Greg's newest book. It's called Walking in Wisdom, How to Access the Mind of Christ and Make Good Decisions. Juergen, may God be with you. You know, she didn't mention this book, but I was like, you know what, I got to get this for my little niece as well. It is called Hannah and the Beanstalk. For children, we give a lot of things away for adults. Well, how about we bless our babies too, right? And it says, A True Story of Faith by Carly Terradez. And guess what? The illustration, it was illustrated by Butch Hartman. Those of you who do not know, I am Daniel Emstead's assistant, and he didn't talk about his book or anything, so I am going to talk about it. So he has a book. It's called The Place of His Presence, Awakening to the Life and Spirit Within. Does a sense of the Lord's presence seem to elude you despite your earnest seeking? Does heaven seem silent despite your patient listening? The Place of His Presence, and you will be blessed. And let me just, this is my last, these are my last giveaways. Hot off the press. Daniel has a ministry and it's called Daniel Emstead Collectives. And they just released a healing CD. It is Healing Inside Out by His Word. It is his wife, Tracy Emstead's. Tracy, please stand. She's going to get me for this. Please stand. I know she's already making faces, but this is his wife, Tracy Emstead's. And you know what? It's her reading healing scriptures and Daniel playing piano, and it's like nature sounds and stuff. I mean, they just got this yesterday. That's how hot off the press it is, okay? Amen. Amen. Well, before I bring Daniel to the stage, I want to give you an opportunity to give today. I needed to just have Ashley come up here and just do this. I wanted to give you an opportunity to give. So at this time, my ushers are going to pass out the offering envelopes. Have you been blessed with the word today? We've not only got, not just today, but all this week, we have got word in us about healing. Because you know what? Audrey, Andrew, Carly, they're not going to all be with you when you leave here. And we've sown seed in you so that you could know the scripture for yourself. We also want you to know the scripture about what the word says about giving. The Lord loves a happy, hilarious giver. And you know what? Are you being fed here today? Have you been fed this week? Let's sow where we're fed. You're not trying to pay for it. A healing, you're not trying to pay for anything that God has for you. But I'm telling you, if you sow a seed, it's not about the amount of it so much. What are you purposing in your heart? Andrew's told us he's got big dreams. It's not even about the buildings that he wants to build and stuff like that. But you know what? There are people out there that do not know that God loves them. Colleen, she got up here and she told us she didn't know that. So if you think that in 2022 that there is somebody that still doesn't know that God loves them, I'm telling you, there's still people in 2022 that does not know the love of God. And you know what? Andrew can't do it by himself. Miss Jamie, we cannot do it by ourselves. So you might not see it on this side of whose life you've touched. I want you to purpose in your heart. How many of you have a loved one that does not know Christ? Look at all these hands. So when you think about this, when you're giving today, give out of a heart of love. Not just for the person. Just get that person in your mind. My brother, my sister, my cousin, my niece, my grandson, my granddaughter, whoever it is, get that person in your mind. Because maybe it won't be you that'll get the word to them. But who knows that it might be the seed you're sowing today, you know what? So that we can get the word far, wide, and deep. You never know which one of these students, which one of these guests that are here may come across the path of your loved one that does not know Christ. And as you're sowing that seed today, maybe not on this side, but when we get on the other side, somebody's going to come by your mansion and say, I'm so glad that you were at Healing is Here 2022, the 8th annual Healing is Here conference. You don't know it, but I know that you sowed a seed in that offering. And because of what you sowed that day, somebody was there and they got a hold of this word that God wants me well. They got a hold of God loving me unconditionally. And they had a hold of the point that they knew that even if they would have been the only one, Jesus would have come and died just for them. That's the love of God. That's what I want you to think about as you're giving today. The widow's mite, she had two mites. That's what she had. But it was out of the motive, the heart that she gave it. So as you think about your loved ones, get your seed in your hand. Get your seed in your hand. Think about that person. God, thank you that I'm going to get an opportunity, because that's what this is. It's an opportunity. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to give today, God. We thank you that we love you so much. And we thank you that even if we would have been the only one, you would have come and died just for us. We cannot repay you for anything, but we want to be a part of getting the seed in the ground, being a part to show someone. Let someone know that you love them as well. They may not know. We thank you that as we give today, each and every heart, no family will go lacking in forgiving today, God. I thank you, Lord God, that they will receive a 100-fold return in this life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive the offering. And at this time, it is my pleasure and my honor to bring to the stage the director of Healing School, Daniel Amstutz.
Well, it is such a blessing to have you here today in the Healing School. We are year-round, and we take a short break during the summer months, right after graduation, just for a few weeks. But we're always, every week, online. So even if we're not live in the house, we do an archived Healing School online. And what a blessing. Tracy and all of our team, our AVL team, our live stream team. Man, I just want to say publicly thank you to everyone who has helped us make the Healing School a success. Can we give God a praise for that? Amen. And we are so grateful for you being here this week for Healing is Here. How many of you have been having a good time so far? Yeah? Amen. It's been so great. The teaching is so good. The fellowship is incredible. And just coming together with like-minded people. And so we are always excited about this particular panel because it is a panel, first of all, of some of my closest friends, and it's also a panel of some of our instructors, and it gives you an opportunity to ask questions. And, you know, one of the things that we love about being in a classroom, especially some of our smaller classes that are a little bit more interactive, we can actually ask questions. And so when COVID hit in 2020 or end of 2019, whenever all that craziness was, you know, we were doing a live Bible study on Tuesday nights through the ministry here with Andrew. And it was on Andrew and Jamie's heart, instead of going less, like most people were cutting back and trimming and, you know, whatever, he actually had it in his heart and Jamie's heart to do more. And so that's when we started doing the live Bible studies every single day out of the week. What an incredible blessing. Amen. And so one of the things that we love as teachers and as hosts for the live Bible studies is the fact that it is interactive, to where you can actually ask questions. And I love this style of learning, because not only do you get your question answered, but probably a lot of other people have had the same question on their hearts. So thank you for being a part of this afternoon. I know we're going to have a great time. We always do. So I'd like to ask all of our participants on our panel to come up today, if you would, and come and find a seat here at the table. And I've got my little iPad with our live questions. Let's welcome Audrey Mack as she comes, Carly Terrades, Andrew Womack, Greg Moore, and Barry Bennett. Amen. We are so grateful, and every one of these people have taught in the healing school, and of course healing is part of their journey, part of their testimony, part of their story. So all of you ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being a part of this afternoon. And Andrew, thank you for just so much. Thank you for the 50 plus years of faithfulness in the ministry. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of what God is doing in the earth today. And all of you who are on the panel today, thank you for not giving up and for saying yes to the Word of God, even in difficult situations. Amen? Hallelujah. So, Father, we just want to commit our time to you today and thank you for this opportunity. We love the Word of God, and we love the fact that you've given us the Word to know you, not just to know information, but to get to know you. And we're so grateful, God, that we've discovered that you are for us, not against us, that you're not the author of sickness and disease. You are the one who is our healer. And so as we answer these questions today, Father, we just trust that you are going to lead us and guide us by your Spirit. And we thank you for this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, the IT department set me up with this little handy-dandy iPad here that's actually a live document. So the questions are coming in live. We've got a lot of questions. We'll get to as many of them as we can. But I'm going to start off here with Josh, I hope I'm saying this right, on YouTube asks, if I've been prayed for by a prayer minister, do I need to ask for healing again? Or just believe and wait for it to manifest? I think that's a great one for Andrew.
It depends on what you believe. If you believe you receive when you pray, then you don't have to have somebody pray for you again. But you need to keep praying, pray without ceasing until you see the manifestation. So if you are asking for prayer a second time because I prayed and nothing happened, so I'm going to ask again, well, you just X'd out your first prayer. But if you pray and say, look, I believe I received, and just like Mike was sharing, man, he's healed, but he needs to see the manifestation, and I just want you to agree with me. And, Jesus prayed for a man twice in Mark chapter 8. And he only had a partial healing. He saw men as trees walking, so he prayed for him a second time. So you can be prayed for until they rub all the hair off your head, as long as you got the right attitude. If you're doing it because I know I'm healed and I'm just wanting your agreement, well, then that's great. If you're praying because, well, that guy didn't, it didn't work when he prayed, maybe it'll work when you pray, you aren't in faith. So it depends on what your heart is.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think also sometimes, because some people might wonder, now, why is it that you prayed and then the symptoms maybe got a little less, but then you prayed again? The why you pray a second time over a person is not because you don't believe they didn't get healed, but because you are expecting a full manifestation. The motivation is different. It's not unbelief, but it's like expectancy. Like, I'm not settled with anything less than God's best.
Yeah, that's great. A lot of these are anonymous. In fact, most of them are. So this is from guest on email. We have a lot of people with the same name. It's kind of fluky.
Yes.
But this person says, I got a word from God through a prayer minister that I should expect something, and I've been restored, and I don't need to do anything but receive, and I believe in receive. Then Pastor Andrew, as they call him here, don't you love being called a pastor, Andrew?
I'm not a pastor. I work for a living.
As I said, Andrew prays and agrees with me. So why is my pain and my sickness, quote, still present? Is it my fault I haven't received the physical proof of my healing by now? Thanks and God bless you all. I think this is a common question for a lot of people. Carly, what are they doing wrong, quote unquote?
What are they doing wrong? I mean, everyone deals with unbelief in different areas. And I don't think that we necessarily ever arrive or just think, you know, unbelief isn't something that's ever going to bother me. I've conquered that mountain. Done. I'm done with it now. You know, there's always going to be an opportunity to believe something other than the word of God. And symptoms are always going to, you know, challenge your heart. You know, they're going to come up in your flesh and they're going to challenge you whether you're going to believe what's in your spirit and agree with that, whether they're going to, you're going to go and believe what your physical body is telling you. So I think we just need to keep pressing into the word of God and renewing our mind until the word of God's answers become more real to us than the symptoms and the situations that we're dealing with. And it's really easy for us. Understand this, when we pray for somebody else, it's easy to believe because the symptoms aren't in your body. Right? It's way easier for you to see a miracle in somebody else's body than in your own. You don't have to overcome that that natural unbelief. You don't have to overcome the pain. You're not feeling the symptoms. The other person is. So it's easy to be flippant about that and not to be compassionate with somebody. But, you know, understand that people are in a journey. They're in a process. And why the things that we're ministering to them are true, let's not be harsh with that. We need to have compassion on people and understand that, you know, Jesus will meet you in your place, even in your place of unbelief. Yeah. He's going to meet you in your place of faith. So I encourage them to stay in the Word and just stick with it.
Yeah, I would also encourage people, just be honest with God. How many of you know He knows where you are? You understand, he knew what your sin was before you confessed it, right? But he knows where you are. He knows what's going on in your life. And many times we grab things mentally, and we actually try to hijack someone else's revelation. But I've been in a place, you know, a number of times. Especially early when I was walking with the Lord, I was holding my baby in my arms, and I'd heard Kenneth Hagin received healing, and he got a revelation, and Oral Roberts, and all these guys, John Osteen, but I said, Lord, this is my baby, and would you make it real to me? Yeah. And, you know, God can deal with that. Would you just, Lord, I believe, but I, obviously there's some things I don't see. Would you help me to see it? And I'll pray Ephesians 1:17-19, that God would open the eyes of my understanding, and also Ephesians 3:13-19, that God would, I would get a revelation of His great love for me. And I tell you guys, the love of God, okay, faith works by love. It works by you walking in love. It works by you understanding you're loved. And when you just rest in the fact that he loves you, He's going to get you the revelation that you need for you to receive the manifestation of your healing.
Let me just say that this question is what leads to so many wrong conclusions. People pray, the Word says if you pray, you receive. And if they don't see it, well, then they come up with things. Well, God said no, or that God put sickness on you, or God's punishing you, or you aren't holy. And just so many wrong doctrines become of that very question. So I always say it's never God's fault.
Yeah.
It's never God's fault. God's word is absolutely true. So just knock all of those other possibilities out. That only leaves that it's the devil or it's me. The only thing I can see. And sometimes it's just an attack. And it has nothing to do with you. Daniel had his prayer hindered in the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel. It had nothing to do with him. It was just an attack of the devil. So some things are just an attack. Some things are our fault. And I know that, you know, Barry was making a major point that we don't need to be condemned and we don't need to be looking at ourselves. Mike was making that same point, and that's true. But if you are at the same time, if you're out there living in sin and just giving yourself over to the devil, you need to recognize it could be your fault. That's not to say it's always your fault. And sometimes you just don't know. I think the whole book of Job was written to people who think that they've got everything figured out. And sometimes we need to just say, I don't know what the problem is, but I'm not going to let what I don't know hinder me from doing what I do know. It's God's will that I be well, and I'm going to keep after it until I see it.
I think also for, you know, for those of you who are in my workshop on Tuesday afternoon, it's of so many times we can have a tendency to hear some messages of what God did with somebody. It's human nature to want to use things like a method and get into, you know, 10 step two and doing this way and apply it as, you know. But God is very personal, and that's what Pastor Greg Moore says, that he knows us on a personal level, and I think that's why it's important that for me, healing is not so much what you got to do and this and this, and it's about a relationship. It's about entering, and God is sent us the Holy Spirit to lead us to the victory, which in this case would be healing. So it is not so much about imitating this person or that, but it's going to God and say, Lord, you know me. What would you have me do? What's going on? What's going wrong? And allow the Holy Spirit to reveal some things, you know, and it's not a one-size-fits-all cookie cutter. God knows us. There are things we don't know or see on the surface, but he's the one who knows all things and can reveal something, some hindrances, or, you know, whatever it is that you need to do or not do, to help you. And because the way I see it is, God is never looking to disqualify us. He's always looking to qualify us and help us in whichever path we're in.
I know, right? That's a great point. You know, every one of these people have such great teachings on various ways to receive healing. But Pastor Greg, would you just quickly share, you know, when Audrey is saying, you know, ask the Lord. You know, the Lord will tell you. You've got such practical advice regarding this out of your book. What is it called? It's such a great book.
Yeah,
Your Healing Door.
Your Healing Door.
All right.
It's the key to your healing. God, I mean, there's no bad way to receive healing.
No, that's true.
You know, and God's got, he loves us so much. There's lots of different ways and methods that we can receive. I mean, you can receive through the gifts of the Spirit. You can receive through, you know, quoting the Word. You can receive, you know, have people agreeing with you in prayer. But yeah, there, you know, and so the Bible talks about two or three times. It talks about they heard and were healed. And so, you know, if I'm fighting a battle of sickness, I'm seeking the Lord, okay, not for a method or a principle so much as I'm seeking the Prince. And God, where am I? What's going on in my heart? Would you show me my heart the way you see it? If there's anything in my heart that doesn't line up with your word, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and Paul's saying, look, I'm not going to be judged by, verse 3, I'm not going to be judged by any man, but yet I am not justified by this. And he said, but I'm not going to judge ahead of time what the issue is until the Lord comes. And then he'll bring to light the hidden thing of darkness, and he'll make manifest the counsels of your heart. So what does that mean? Sometimes in our souls, not in our spirit, in our souls, we can be believing lies about ourselves, about God, about others, and sometimes we don't know it. And he said, don't judge ahead of time, but until the Lord comes, he said, I don't know anything, verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 4, against myself, yet I'm not justified by this. Verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. So God will show you your heart the way he sees it. And if there's a lie you've believed, if there's unbelief there, God, just show me. And when you show me, then show me the truth, and I'm turning around. And I'm going to grab hold of the truth. I'm going to substitute the lie with the truth. That's real deliverance. That's freedom from strongholds. I just divorce the lie. I marry the truth. And I walk in freedom. Amen? But God's not going to, look, he's not going to punish us. He's not upset at us. Lord, you know my heart. Show me if there's a lie I'm believing that's stopping me from receiving, then you show me. And when you show me what it is, and you show me the truth, I'm there like a bulldog. I'm holding on to that truth.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Another guest on email says, I've stood on healing for years, believing that I was healed, but I've not experienced it yet in the natural. I get very discouraged as it's seemingly taught as being so easy to just, quote, receive. I don't know what else to do. What am I missing? Yeah.
I think I've met that a few times, especially when it comes to a very prolonged sickness. The Bible says hopes deferred makes the heart sick. And oftentimes, I've seen the people, when it comes after a while and they hope and hope and doesn't happen, their hearts become sick. And it's almost like their heart is not allowing them, because there's been disappointment. They didn't see that. So sometimes it's like, I always believe that you just don't treat the surface. You have to go to the root of the problem. And that's what Jesus, how he ministered, he always went to the root of the problem. Like we talked about, you know, Jesus speaking to the paralyzed and saying, your sins are forgiven, you know. And so there's been a few times like that, people that I met that had long sicknesses, and you had to first bring healing to the heart to raise up their hope level, you know, with the word of God, to show them, you know, and allow them, once they pick up the hope, because the beginning of faith is hope, and that hope is expectation. You know, it's expecting something good. And when you raise that level of expectation and hope, then you can pray for them so they can receive.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah.
I think, you know, when somebody's been sick for a really long time, it's like Woodrow's saying, it's not just in the flesh anymore, right? It's much more a part of them. You know, when I lived with epilepsy for a long time, and before I received my healing, the Lord really had to take some time. It was actually over a period of a couple of weeks. And that wasn't because God's power wasn't available on the Monday and I had to wait to the end of the week to get healed, but he just knew the condition of my heart wasn't fertile ground. And with long-term sickness, it starts to get into your identity. You start to take ownership, or it starts to take ownership of you. And like Audra is saying, it hurts your expectation. You know, you start to dream sick, you think sick, you speak sick, you plan sick. Yep. Everything you do in your life accommodates to being sick. It plans your schedule, it takes your money, it steals your relationships. And the more of you it takes over, you know, the longer it's been around, the more of you it's accustomed to your life, and the more you've learned to make accommodations just to survive, you know, the more rooted it's become. And there needs to be a change on the inside. You know, you've heard that from so many of the speakers this week, but we change on the inside. We change in our perception. We allow that hope, that imagination, to be the spark of our faith. I think hope is the spark on the furnace of our faith. It's like the pilot light if our faith was a furnace. And so I would challenge you to ask the Lord to give you a picture. What is the well you look like? I had to start seeing myself well before I started to be well. And the Lord showed me that I had a choice to make in that. There was a switch I needed to flip to turn faith on, because my whole existence had literally been just existing. And you know, you can read the word and read the word and read the word, but if you're not reading the word with faith, it's not going to profit you anything. Mm-hmm. And there's an aspect of faith that sees. So ask the Lord, give me visions. If you've been sick for so long that you can't imagine yourself well anymore, if you don't even know, maybe you were born sick and you've never seen a well you. Ask the Lord, as I sleep, Holy Spirit, give me dreams, give me visions, give me a picture on the inside. Speak to me by your Spirit. Paint on the inside of me a picture of the person that you've called me to be and the health that you've called me to walk in. And I'm saying that's like the spark of hope that ignites faith. Get a picture on the inside.
Yeah, so good. And again, Andrew's got a great teaching on this, on the power of imagination, which is biblical hope, using your imagination in a positive kind of way, as he was sharing even this morning. So great, great concept to really embrace. I love this question. I think it's common. It's something we probably all have asked a time or two. When we are standing in the waiting in between the amen and knowing you're healed until that full manifestation of the physical reality takes place, how do you keep your awareness off the pain or the fatigue that seems so loud and constantly being communicated to your body and your neurons?
I think that's a good one for Barry. He just went through this.
Yeah.
As I touched on this a little bit when I spoke on Tuesday, I thank God, going back to what Carly just said, I thank God that I had a foundation of an identity without sickness. In other words, I never saw myself sick. To have announced that I needed to get my affairs in order and I was about to die, that was, I can't even describe to you how shocking that was. Had I not had a foundation of who I am in Christ, I don't know how I would have reacted. But I had peace, instant peace. I thought, you know, as I mentioned, I thought initially, wow, I'm going to go be with Jesus. And so I wasn't afraid. That didn't scare me a bit. But then the Spirit of God quickened me. And so he quickened me because I knew what that was like. I've been quickened throughout my walk with God. I have a foundation. I have an identity. I don't believe in being sick. In fact, on my first week in the hospital, a Catholic chaplain lady, I was in a Catholic hospital, and a chaplain came in, a lady. She says, "Barry, how are you doing?" And I was cranky. I said, "Not well." She says, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I'm not supposed to be here." And she said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I'm not supposed to be sick. I don't believe in being sick. This is not my belief system." I said, you know, and she, of course, she had to sit down and think about that. But but that was my state of mind. I shouldn't be here. Now, there I was. I can't deny that. But thank the Lord for a foundation. What I want to say right now is that, I forget the question, I'll get back to it when you remind me, but don't wait for the news that you're going to die before you start building your foundation.
There you go.
You need, and I will be honest in this, and I have written a book on healing. I have been teaching healing for decades. I mean, I have a background in this. And yet, even since my journey, I have changed my lifestyle again to where I am now listening to at least 2 hours a day of teaching every day of things that I could teach myself, things I know. I can say, well, I already know that. It doesn't matter. I want to hear the word. I want to hear the word. So I have a long drive up and down the mountain every day. And so I listen to teaching going down. I listen to teaching coming up. Over the weekends, I listen to teaching early in the morning. And it's not because I think I need teaching. I need to be in the presence of the Word of God to have a foundation so that this won't happen again. I want to be in a place where I don't get taken by surprise. So what was the question?
So, yeah. So basically the symptoms are speaking so loud. They know they're healed, and yet they're feeling the pain in their body.
Well, that's, again, been there, done that. I understand. But I, as I mentioned, and I'm going to develop this into a message probably the next time I'm in healing school, of living on three different levels. And a lot of people immediately begin to live by their symptoms. They live on the physical level. Their symptoms become their Lord. Other people live on the level of their emotions, or we'll call it your soul. Your emotions become your Lord. Yeah. And I was on that roller coaster, and part of it was drug-related and what have you. But beneath that, and where I was truly living from, was my spirit man.
Yeah.
The Lord quickened my spirit man that I wasn't going to die. So from there, I had a peace that passes understanding. Regardless of what my body was telling me, regardless of what my emotions were going through, I knew that I knew that I knew I was going to get through this. Now, it took longer than I expected. I didn't expect to be sick at all, and then I expected it to be quick, and I expect, you know. So I got discouraged in the soulish level a few times. But in the spiritual, it was a discouragement because I knew this is going to end. I just want it to end quicker than it's ending.
Yeah.
Okay. But I knew that I was going to be healed. And so dealing with the symptoms, it was just peripheral, really, to what was really going on inside of me. What was inside of me was healing and health and vision. As I said, I projected the future. So I chose to live from there and not live so much from the emotions and the symptoms.
Let me say that what I do in between when I say amen and there it is that I will believe that I've got it and I'll start operating in praise. Praise is not only a weapon against the devil and against your sickness, but praise makes you focus on the answer instead of the problem. And as so many people here have said this week, we get consumed with what we're feeling and thoughts of, you know, maybe we're going to die or we're going to live with this the rest of our life. How do you get your mind off of that? Praise makes you focus on God.
Right.
And praise, like, for instance, some of the things in my life, I'll just sit there and start talking about my dreams that God has put in my heart that I hadn't seen come to pass yet. And so I'll get to dreaming about it and see the completion of them. Because if you're really depressed or discouraged by your sickness, you won't go into the future because you're afraid of what it might be. So you start praising God that he's bigger than your sickness and resurrect those dreams. See yourself fulfilling. I think Barry even mentioned that he was ordering things that were contrary to his situation and what they were telling him. But you start going ahead and making plans for your future.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
I remember when Fred and I were going to lead a team to the jungles. 3 days before I was attacked, my body was appendicitis. And of course I knew, so I prayed and I asked the counsel of the Holy Spirit and he told me, stay at home and receive your healing. So I knew. And I prayed, and I believe I received, and I thank God for my healing. But the symptoms were getting louder and louder. The fever was going higher and higher until my body was under shock and trembling under the sheets. And the whole time I'm believing I received, you know, I knew I could quote Mark 11, 23 and 24. But then the next morning, you know, I hadn't slept all night. And my first reaction or my first want, I'm just going to want to lay down and rest and just, you know, haven't slept. But I heard the Holy Spirit inside says, do you believe you are healed? And I'm like, yes, Lord, I know I'm healed. I received that healing. He said, then what would you do if you were well? And I went, well, and I would get up. It was Sunday morning. Got up, got dressed, took a shower, went to church. We arrived in church. It's during praise and worship. And it was kind of a dance, jump kind of church. And I'm sitting, sweating because the fever is still high. And I'm sitting like that. The whole room is going like this. And I hear the Holy Spirit say again, well, do you believe you are healed? I say, yes, no, I am healed. He said, then what would you do on Sunday morning in church if you were well? So I got up. And I started to praise God. Long story short, I ended God at the end of the service. The symptoms were even the same, hadn't changed. Got in the car. Fred looks at me and he says, honey, do you want to go home and rest? Or do you want to stop and get a bite to eat? And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. My stomach is right here in my throat. But I hear again, well, what would you do on Sunday morning after church if you were well? So I say, okay, let's stop. And we stopped in a restaurant, and I'm in the restaurant, and I'm having a discussion with the Holy Spirit. And I'm saying, Lord, this is not enough for me to be in a restaurant. Do I have to eat? And I hear the Holy Spirit say, then what would you do on Sunday morning after church in a restaurant if you were well? So I ordered a meal. I remember it was Applebee's, a salad, the Oriental salad. And I'm like, and I knew I had to eat the whole salad one bite at a time. And every bite I swallowed wanted to come back up. And the smell of the food, the room was spinning around. But I closed my eyes and man, I ate that salad. The symptom was still there. I got out of the car. The symptom was still there. But I remember the moment when I got to the car and I put my hand on the handle, all of a sudden, all the symptoms were gone. And 2 days later, we got into the jungle, and it was powerful. So I always, and the number of people that always come back to me and look at me and say, Audrey, I always remember what you say. What would you do if you were well? You know, so it's not me telling you what you ought to do. It is you here again, relationship, asking the Lord, what would you have me do, Lord? And whatever he tells you to do, do it. What would you do if you were well?
You know, I think this point, that is so powerful, by the way. You know, this point between when God says yes and we say amen, we're so vulnerable. Because that is the moment where the enemy comes really quickly with the fear and the doubt. What if my faith doesn't work? What if? Should I have a B plan? You know, if the symptoms don't go, should I, you know, go get help? Should I go, you know, take some medicine or whatever? And that is the opportunity where all of those fears and those symptoms are speaking to us so loudly. But I just want to say that there is power in that patience. You know, it says in Hebrews that by faith and patience we inherit the promises. And patience is there to hold our faith in place until we see the manifestation. So know this, that you have all of the power on the inside of you to wait out the waiting period. And that you're not even waiting for God to do something. You're just waiting for your eyes to see what your spirit already knows. That's really important that we understand that, because we're not just waiting for it to manifest. I hate that phrase, because it's so ambiguous. It's almost like, well, I could wait for a bus and it may or it may not show up. You know, it tells me that sometimes when people pray, they're just having a go, like it's hit or miss. Right. But when we understand the power of that spoken word, when we speak God's promises out, they go immediately to the very problem, and it's already being resolved on the inside of you. You just can't see it yet. There is more happening beneath the surface than you can tell. And that is where you deploy patience. And patience is just that simple thing that says, I'm looking with expectation. I'm not waiting to see if something changes. I'm looking for signs of life, not signs of death. I had a lady one time came to the Summer Family Bible Conference when we were down in Colorado Springs a long time ago, and she was profoundly deaf, 18 years old, profoundly deaf. And we prayed over her, and it looked like absolutely nothing had changed. And I encouraged her with the story of the fig tree. You remember the story of the fig tree? It's in two of the different Gospels, and in one it says immediately the fig tree withered away at the roots, and the other one it was the next day, right? And says, which is true? Which account is true? Both of them. Both of them are true. Immediately that Jesus cursed that fig tree, that word went powerfully to the very root of that fig tree. But it took a period of time before they could see the effects on the outside of that fig tree. And I encouraged this young lady with that word. And the next day we were walking into the meeting across the parking lot. And I called her name across the room, which is about here from here to the back wall. Shouted her name across the parking lot. Her ears popped open and she could hear me. 24 hours later. That's the power in the patience of waiting.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I would just want to tag one thing, principle on to this is so many times when we're dealing with attacks of the enemy, symptoms that are persistent in our bodies, we get focused on ourselves. I want to encourage you, get your focus off of you. Andrew mentioned praise, so you get your focus on the Lord, but then I want to encourage you, minister healing, encouragement, and blessing to others. Reach out to someone else, get your focus off of you, and while you're ministering to others, you're gonna see your healing manifest, and all things are gonna, you just get your focus off of you and helping other people, and you'll see that your freedom will come with that.
Amen. Boy, this is good. Are you guys enjoying this? Yeah. Here's another great question. How can unbelievers, I love this, how can unbelievers manifest immediate healing when believers can't seem to?
Well, I believe that the difference oftentimes with unbelievers is that they have no religion. And oftentimes believers have a whole bunch of religion. They're like unbelieving believers. Yeah, and I see sometime in some of the oddest place where I'll just go and minister in a plane or anywhere, people have no knowledge whatsoever. So they, you know, they don't have anything to hinder them. They just believe, oh, OK, okay, God heals, great. Lay hands, okay. You know, it's like I say also, you know, some of the, you know, you can pray over your dogs. I say, I prayed over dogs and dogs get healed. Why? Because they have no unbelief.
Audrey, I think that's why David was such a great psalmist, because he sang to the sheep. They were like a captive audience. So they had no unbelief.
You know, Christians that are supposed to have to be believers sometimes are those who have the greatest unbelief.
Yeah.
It's true. We overcomplicate things. I think religion will take something very simple and make it very complicated. And the fact is, if we don't think through all the reasons why the word won't work for us, it'll work for us.
Yeah. It's amazing. You know, when you begin to study healing, when you discover the things that Jesus didn't say, that much of the church is saying. You know, like Jesus never did an interview before he healed somebody. Right? Generational curses, quote unquote. Oh, you've got to have this removed, that removed. You know, Jesus, we never heard him say anything like that. Right? It's amazing how religion will put you into all of these traps.
You know, a lot of times lost people can receive through the gifts of the Spirit. And so there are miracles, signs, and wonders, things that happen. Now they need to get in the Word, and they need to get born again first, and then after that, and get in the Word. But healing will draw them. Healing, Kenneth Hagin says, healing is the dinner bell.
Yeah.
It draws people into relationship with God. So God will heal anybody. He wants everybody well. Many times though, people are healed through the gifts of the Spirit, other people's faith, and then they need to get born again and they need to get filled with the Word. I think the gifts of the Spirit can work just equally with people who are believers. However, there's responsibility on our part. We need to act on the Word ourselves, and we need to believe the Word and get into faith and be responsible for with the truth that we have, and speak the Word and take authority and not depend on other people's ministry to us so much. We have a wonderful prayer center here. Mm-hmm. I've never called it. I'll have some other people agree with me. It's as we grow, we're not calling call centers for prayer as much as we are. We're believing ourselves. We need to take our responsibility, and I'm not knocking the prayer center. You guys can call and get product and order product and all that, but you know, we need to take the knowledge of the Word that we have, the revelation that we have, believe it and hold on to it. And yeah, it's fine to get people to agree with you. When Barry was going through what he was going through, there were times when we reached out to him and he said, "Man, Greg, I appreciate you calling. I just don't feel myself, right now. And I don't feel, fully strengthened and everything." And so we need one another. But the bottom line is believers need to take responsibility for what they have received and take their own authority.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, Patricia on email asks, "Why is addressing our soul condition so important today when Jesus never addressed it? He didn't address the condition of the soul when he healed those who came to him." Great question.
Yeah, that's not true. He did. I mean, you look at Mark chapter 4. Although that's a parable of the heart. And there are four different kinds of hearts there. He's not talking about spirits there. That's the soul. If it was a spirit, you wouldn't have three bad kind of spirits, and right? No, he was talking about the soul. So he used when the Bible uses the word heart, the word heart, actually your heart is a combination of your spirit and soul. It's your inward man. 1 Peter 3:4 talks about the spirit being the inward man of the heart. But many times when the Bible's talking about heart, sometimes it's referring to soul, like in Mark chapter 4, the four different kinds of ground. Then other times he's talking about spirit. Other times he's just talking about he's talking about a combination of both. But he did deal with the soul.
I mean, when he delivered demons, you know, a lot of demonic issues are rooted in the soulish realm. You know, so there's a whole lot of instances. If you just go through and look at all the times that Jesus delivered somebody, a lot of those are issues of the soul.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the man was paralyzed. We talked, you know, through the conference when he was sick in his body. Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." He was dealing with the heart of the man.
Yeah, yeah, great. Also, why does the church believe that there are situations like Down syndrome that are exempted from healing today? They say this comes from God. Do you believe that? No. But it is interesting, isn't it? I remember, Carly, when we were back at Elkton, we had somebody who came up after healing school one day, and the exemption then was AIDS. You know, has anybody ever been healed of AIDS? And, you know, through the years, we've seen the yeah, but, and then you just fill in the blank with whatever it is that that person thinks the exemption is. And, you know, so how would you speak to that, Andrew? Because I know that you deal with this all the time with people who are trying to make their situation the exemption.
Well, that's a bogus question, because there is nothing that is exempted from healing. And so if you agree with that, you're already starting from a position of unbelief. I understand that the person may be sincere. I'm not trying to condemn them, but there is nothing exempted. All things are possible to him that believes. It's impossible to the person who doesn't believe. But it's not impossible to God.
In Deuteronomy 28, where from verse 1 to verse 15, it talks about all the blessings that came upon Israel if they obeyed. And then from verse 16 to 68, it names all the curses. And there was major part of it was sickness. But then it ends and says, and also all the sicknesses that are not named in this book. And then we read in Galatians 3, verse 13, and we said that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. So that means we've been redeemed and bought back. Jesus did that from all the sickness in Deuteronomy 28 and all the sickness that are not even named in the book. Even if there is a new one coming up tomorrow, we've been redeemed from it. So whatever comes up new, you know, we've been redeemed. So they, like Andrew said, there is absolutely zero exemption of something. That would mean that the blood of Jesus was not enough.
Amen.
I personally believe that the reason we see something so hard to be healed is not because God, it doesn't take any more power to heal cancer than it does a cold. But there are things that affect us more. If you see Down syndrome, the world says that's impossible. And so our unbelief limits God flowing through us. When it's people, you know, I had a situation right after I saw my first person raised from the dead. I got so excited that I just thought, man, if I can see a person raised from the dead, I can see anything happen. So I went to Omaha, Nebraska, and there was a guy sitting on the front row in a wheelchair. And I thought, man, if I've seen people healed, raised from the dead, this guy's a piece of cake. So I couldn't wait for me to get through so I could go over and pray for this guy. And I went over and just said, "You're healed," and grabbed him by the hand and jerked him out of that wheelchair. And he was quadriplegic. And he came right over and fell right on his face, couldn't even catch himself. And man, everybody in the place gasped. I gasped. I was thinking lawsuit or whatever. And I had to get down and hug this guy and put him back in his wheelchair and say, "Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled." And did you know I've struggled with praying with people in wheelchairs since then? Now, we saw Barry and I both pray, and I probably some of y'all prayed for the guy from Tawan in a wheelchair, and he got up and walked. And I see people come out of wheelchairs, but I got to admit, it's my unbelief and a very painful memory that affects the way that I deal with things. God doesn't have any more problems healing a person in a wheelchair than he has healing a cold. Mm-hmm. There's no difference with God. It's us and our background and our unbelief that limits God. It's never God, ever.
Yeah. Yeah, really good. Amen. When Jesus healed the woman who had been bent over 18 years, she said she had a spirit of infirmity. What is that? What is a spirit of infirmity? Can a Christian have this?
Yes, it's a demon. Christians can have demons. People that, well, that's impossible. God and the devil can't inhabit the same place at the same time. God inhabits your spirit. And whether he's in your soul or your body is totally dependent on how submitted to him you are. So, no, he can't have your spirit. Your spirit is sealed. But, you know, for instance, if you have a lustful thought, well, that's not your spirit man that did that. That's demonic. Every one of us have. If I was to, you know, people say you need to plead the blood over this place and not let any demons in. We wouldn't have near as many people in here if I did. Those of you that have stinking thinking, that are full of unbelief and doubt and fear, it's all demonic. It's demons. And I believe that a lot of sickness, a lot of it, is demons. And matter of fact, I was in Oral Roberts' home just a few months before he died, and we were asking him questions. And he said that the greatest miracles he ever saw were when people got delivered of demons. And he made the distinction that not all sickness is demonic, but the greatest miracles that he saw were demonic, because when the demon leaves, there's just boom, instant like that. But then there's other things that aren't demonic. They're just a healing. And so you get rid of the infection, you get rid of the cancer, you get rid of something, and your body recovers. You lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So some things are progressive because the problem is gone. The root is gone, but it takes a while for one of you was saying about, you know, they cursed the fig tree and it was the next day before they saw the difference. It took a while for what happened below the surface to manifest. But yes, yeah, some people, the reason they get healed so quickly is because it's demonic and they get that demon cast out and instantly their hearing is back. That was in the Bible. It was demons that caused deafness. It was demons that caused scoliosis, that spirit of infirmity that Daniel was talking about. What else? Demons call blindness, epilepsy. Yeah, the boy that had the seizures. I don't know if that was epilepsy, but it was some type of seizures. What else?
Dumbness.
Yeah, there's a lot of dumb people. And you need to get that demon cast out. Praise God. I'm surprised you would say that about people, Barry.
Moving right along.
If we just had this a deliverance service right now, we'd have a lot of smart people in here, wouldn't we?
Yeah, we would. Oh, you'll have to forgive me for not pronouncing your name correctly here, but it looks like Tamwarzi on YouTube asks, as I wait for healing to manifest in the physical, do I rely on medicine in the meantime?
Listen, if you're asking the question whether you should stop taking your medication, the answer is no, right? There is a difference between faith and stupid. Let me just explain. If you're on medication, and it doesn't matter what it's for, right? You made a decision to go on medication for whatever reason. You need to be in peace and follow the leading of the Holy Ghost as to what you do with that, because it can have very real consequences. So if you're asking somebody else to be your Holy Spirit, you're not convinced for yourself, right? You need to hear God for yourself. When I heard from the Lord myself, I quit all of my epilepsy medications and I never had another seizure since. But I wasn't asking my husband to be my Holy Spirit for me. And you know, I had some people withstanding me. They thought I was being very irresponsible. But when you know something, because you know something in your knower, no one can convince you out of it, right? No matter what the consequences could be. And so you need to get to that point of assurance when it comes to medication and really get a clear word from the Lord as to what your path is ahead. And if the fact is, if you're asking the question, then you're not convinced yet.
There is a difference between trying something to see if it will work versus knowing, which what Carly is talking about, knowing in your spirit. I had a situation in which I literally got up off, this is years ago, I literally got up off a pre-op table, unplugged myself, and I checked out of the hospital because the Spirit of God rose up within me. No, this procedure is not for you. And so I knew that no was from God, and I got up and left. It was a $7,000 decision, but... but in this most recent journey, I had a different kind of quickening. Now, it's not that God couldn't have healed me instantly. Perhaps this is, you know, something defective in my plate wherever I was. But I went through with chemo. I've had 11 chemos and a CAR T-cell transplant. And I had to sign off on all kinds of side effects and stuff of that nature. I never looked at, to this day, I haven't looked at any of that, what could have happened, what might have happened. I didn't care because I had a word from God I was going to live, but I didn't have a word from God to not do the medical route. I needed a word no, and I didn't get that word this time. And so I went through it. I went through it with peace. Is there a better way? Yeah, I would have preferred a better way. I would have preferred to be instantly healed. And maybe that's on me. Regardless, I'm not going to try something based on what I know in my head. I know healing is real. I know miracles are real. But that's not my faith. That's my belief system. Do you understand? My belief system is spot on. But I have to live by what is quickened to my spirit.
Yeah.
And if it didn't get quickened to my spirit, then I can't try something because I know it in my head. I think a lot of Christians are in this predicament of we know a lot, but we haven't known him a lot. And so we're not used to hearing his voice. We know doctrine, but we're not being quickened on certain life decisions. And so we step out into, let me try this, or what do you think I should do? And we end up in a bad place. We've had actually students pass away because they decided they would prove their faith by not taking medicine. And that wasn't a word from God for them. It was them trying something.
Yeah.
So we need to be very careful. I'm going to go back to my original, where I began earlier, that we have got to have a foundation of a relationship with God in which we are hearing him on a continual basis, not just once in a while. We need to be continually hearing from God so that when a situation may arise that's life and death, it's not a strange thing for you to hear from God. It should be, you expect to. Amen. I don't know if anyone wants to add to that.
Well, it's not always either or either. I mean, like for example, Barry didn't hear no. I mean, I've heard the Lord tell us before, throw away the pink bubblegum medicine, and other times take him to the doctor right now. And so to me, it's not an issue of either or. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Now, obviously, I would much rather be not use doctors, not use medicine. I would much rather not ever borrow money. I would rather be, I'm out of debt today. I'd rather be out of debt. But I've heard the Lord say before, borrow this, start with this much money, borrow this much money, and I'm gonna, you'll pay it off. I've heard him say that. So. You want to do things depending on the Lord, then follow him and don't compare yourself to what God told somebody else to do and then get condemned about that. If you're not in faith, if you're condemned, you're not in faith. And it's like, I don't rely on medicine ever. I rely on the Lord. I don't rely on a doctor. I don't rely on, as much as possible, I'm dependent on the Lord. I'm listening to him. We're all at different levels of faith. Man, I got out of debt by, doing what he told me to do when I needed to borrow money and where I was. And now I don't have to, praise God. So, but we don't condemn ourselves over the steps of faith we're at. And you don't condemn yourself if you're taking medicine. But you want to listen to God, depend on him, not the medicine.
Can I add to that?
Of course.
As an illustration, an example of what they said, I remember 23 plus years ago, I was at one time diagnosed with chemical imbalance of the brain, and ultimately they gave me a pill to take. And of course, you know, I had to learn faith. I mean, I just got out of Rhema Bible Training Center, you know, and I was like, no, I'm not taking that. I went home and threw it in the thing. I'm not, because for me, in my mind, taking medicine meant you're not in faith. Going to the doctor equaled you're not in faith. And then I remember my emotion was going, it was just like really hard. And I had just got married, so I just felt so sorry for my husband. And I said, I've got to save my marriage. So I went and I took the pill. But I took it, I felt so condemned. I felt like a failure. I felt like a zero. I just was so, I would take so much condemnation and felt like a fear. I felt like God was looking at me like, what a woman you are. What a woman of faith you are, you know, disgusted. So I took the pill, but felt so condemned. And then, of course, I started to feel a little better. And then I thought, well, now here I am. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to quit the pill. And I went point blank, I quit the pill. Big mistake. I went on a roller coaster ride, and it wasn't a good one. And then all of a sudden, finally, I went to the Lord, and I said, Lord, what am I doing wrong? I'm wanting to walk by faith. What's wrong? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he says, I never told you to quit that pill. He said, as a matter of fact, I want you to take it. For me, that was like an oxymoron, because I'm thinking, what do you mean? Taking a pill for me was not outside of faith. And he said, well, I want you to take that pill, but I want you to take it by faith. I'm like, that just threw me off. I'm like, what do you mean, take a pill by faith? You know, and he says, every time you take the pill, you say, Lord, I thank you for that pill, that it will do me good and no wrong. There will be no side effect. And when it's time to quit, you show me. You tell me. So I went. Okay, and I did that. I don't know how long it was, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I don't remember. But I know one thing. I took it every day, thanking God that it would do me good and no wrong, no side effect. And when it was time to quit, he would show me. And one morning I woke up. It's like I knew that 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 I didn't need any more. I took everything, flushed it in the toilet, and never, ever needed it again. You see, that is what faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's the word, it could be a scripture, it could be whatever, but it's quickened by the Spirit of God. You've heard that for Barry, for all. There is a quickening where you know it's God speaking to you through different ways. And if that makes the difference, that is what is faith. You could go to the doctor by faith, or you could, like I said, when I did before, not go to the doctor or the hospital by faith. You can take a pill by faith or not take a medicine by faith. It is all depending on what the Holy Spirit leads you to do and what is in your heart, quickened by God.
That's great. Amen. Chifo on YouTube says, I'm having issues. How do I really get these truths about healing and health and still remain a medical doctor?
Can you repeat it?
I'm having issues. How do I really get these truths about healing and health and still remain a medical doctor?
I think you can do both very successfully, but you know, you have to have a grace. Right, you have to have a grace from the Lord, and no matter what field sphere of the world that you're working in, you know, we need Christian doctors and nurses. I was a nurse for a time, and for me that season has passed. But we need Christian doctors and nurses. We need Christian anesthetists. We need Christian paramedics, right? And I think that there is a great ministry opportunity in those career fields. That sometimes when people hear about healing, they think, well, I have to choose. I have to choose one or the other. I mean, I just want to say this, man. If you're working in the medical field, you have so much opportunity to lay hands on sick people, like all the time, right? Just do it. You can be praying for people. Like, if they're unconscious, it's even better. They're not going to argue with you. Just use it to your advantage.
Great point.
Hey, I pastored for 27 years, and I went in a lot of hospital rooms, and people, I'd see if I could pray for them, you know, and they, no, I don't want you to pray for me. But the Bible didn't say pray for them. said, lay hands on the sick. So I just, before I left, I just touched their foot or their arm right there in Jesus' name. I released the life of Jesus. A lot of times they get healed.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Listen, doctors are in the healing business. So doctors aren't opposed, well, most of them aren't opposed to God. They're in the healing business. So just, that Luke was a physician. You use what you've got to minister healing to people, and they'll get healed quicker.
Yeah, amen. Amen. When you're standing in faith for your child's manifestation for healing, how do you go about when symptoms manifest around others who aren't in faith, such as family members or friends that you can't necessarily cut out of your life?
That's a good for Angel.
Do you notice how the whole panel kind of, it's like E.F. Hutton, you know?
Well, I've been intentionally quiet on the last couple of questions. I probably differ than most everybody up here in believing that, man, you ought to take your medicine and throw it in the toilet and apologize to the toilet for putting something that bad in you. I don't believe that doctors and medicine is ever God's best, but I, just like Greg was making a point, I don't think going in debt is God's best, but I have been in debt and God loved me and there's no problem. And I got in debt on this garage. I didn't want to, but I had to come up with $6 million in 2 days and I didn't have it. And if I hadn't had it, I'd have been in bad shape. So I did it. But I never thought it was God's best. And as soon as I could, I got out of there and I got over that. So I would never fault anybody for going to the doctor. It's better to go to the doctor if that's where your faith is. If your faith isn't to a place where, like Barry, he had what, hours that he was going to be dead and he just wasn't there. And so he submitted. I don't have any problems with that. He needed help. And so that's great. But, man, I'd get out of that as quickly as possible. I wouldn't depend on it. And I'll go out on a limb here and probably get in trouble. But, man, people, I am just shocked how many Christians depend upon a pill for a headache, for anything. When are you going to start trusting God? Are you going to wait until cancer comes and you've never exercised your faith? Man, I would say don't take a pill for your headache. Don't take a pill for your sinus. Don't take a pill. Start believing God. Now, if you're in a situation where you're going to die, or like Audrey is saying, your hormones or whatever it was, who knows what was wrong with Audrey. But if you're in a situation where things aren't working, well, while you're believing God, well, then take the pill and deal with it. I don't have any problems with that, but I would never say that that's God's best. Doctor, I pray sometimes with 10 to 15 people in a row that operations, medicine have destroyed them. And I'm a lot of the people I pray for, it's because of what doctors did to them. You heard Colleen talk about how she had an operation and woke up in spasms and stuff. There's a reason doctors have the highest malpractice insurance in the world. So am I against doctors? No. If it wasn't for doctors, all the Christians would be dead. So I'm not against doctors. But I do think that doctors should not be where your faith is. It shouldn't be a substitute for God. You ought to put your faith in God. And if you are facing something that, man, I'm just not there. Should I die while I'm trying to build my faith? No, go to the doctor. And if they can treat you, get it treated. But don't depend on it. And I tell you, out of this group, if my experience is correct, I bet you 90% of the people in this room are on medicine. And I think that's a shame. It should not be. You should not depend upon that stuff. And they're now finding out that all kinds of medicines that have been just normal and that people take are causing Alzheimer's. We've got an epidemic of Alzheimer's, and they're finding out that it's because of combined medicines that people put together.
And autism.
Autism, a lot of things. There was a guy that took high blood pressure medicine, which it, a lot of people do that because it's just benign. They think it's just helping. And he took Sudafed for a cold, and he went blind. And his wife happened to read on the box that if you have high blood pressure medicine and take Sudafed, that's one of the side effects, is blindness. He quit taking Sudafed and his eyesight came back. I tell you, a lot of problems we're dealing with are because we are the most medicated group of people that have ever lived. And I heard a doctor say that medicine was never intended to be long-term. Any medicine should be very short-term. But we have just been conditioned so that they come along and tell you to take a vaccine and everybody just rolls up their sleeve. And you're having your DNA changed so that it's actually passed on to your children. That's demonic. So I'm not anti-doctors, but I am anti-trusting doctors first and using God only when doctors can't deal with it. I think you ought to go to the Lord first. And if, you know, like you've heard, if you're struggling, well, then there's nothing wrong. It's not sinful for me to go into debt, but it was never God's best. And man, I did it because I was backed into a corner. And as soon as I could, I got out of that corner, and I'm staying out of that corner, and I'm never going in debt again.
Amen.
And I'm never going to have to go to a doctor. Amen. I'd have to have one foot in the grave before I'd ever go to a doctor. I've got things right now that some people have told me, you need to go to a doctor. And I said, you got to be kidding me. I'm not going to go to a doctor and let him pronounce his stuff over me. I'm just believing God. I don't care what it is. I'm healed. The blood of Jesus covers it, and I'm healed. So that's probably not what everybody else likes, but that's the way I am. And there's not a person up here that's as healthy as I am.
I would challenge that.
So now you hear the real truth. That wasn't the question, but that was the answer. So I just want to jump in. I don't want to say a word about that. That's we're done with that. It's an amen. Put the end of that one. Listen, when my son was so sick, the question was about what do you do with a child that's sick and around unbelievers. And when my son was so sick, we kept him away intentionally from my parents, from Janice's parents. I mean, because they were unbelieving believers.
Yeah.
And then there were areas we didn't want other people seeing those symptoms and then speaking that over him. And so we kind of isolated for a while, and you know, just because, I mean, Jesus ran off the unbelievers, right? And so a couple of different times. So you know, I know there's a balance in this, so you don't want to altogether remove from relationships and isolate. That's not what I'm saying. But you know, I want to hang out with people who are believers.
Yeah.
I mean, believing believers. You show me your inner circle of friends, I'll show you your future. And man, that's who I'm hanging out, people that believe with me. I mean, that's what Barry did when he was going through this. He wrote an email to a few of us, and there was just a circle of, and he said, I am not complaining. This is not a sad story. I'm just telling you where I'm at. I need people that agree with me while I'm going through this. And it was just awesome. And that's what we need to do. We need to surround ourselves with people who are believing with us when we're going through these things.
Now, boundaries are so healthy. And as parents, you know, this really is a parenting question, right? More than a healing question, because it just applies to every area of life. But boundaries are essential. And sometimes you're going to have to be okay with upsetting some people to protect what is a priority for you. And as parents, your children are your priority. Your soul, it's your primary priority to protect your children, even if it's from extended family that mean well. And sometimes you can be in those environments. Sometimes you have to, like Greg's saying, completely isolate because you just know they're going to go off the deep end. And other times you can just set the game plan. You can set the rules. You can say, this is, you're welcome to come over and visit, But these lines of conversation are not acceptable. This conversation is good. This conversation is bad. These are topics we will address. These are topics we won't. And if you're not okay with that, then don't come by. You know, those boundary settings are important. They're biblical, and they're your God-given responsibility. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, believe it or not, we are out of time already. Oh, my goodness. We've had such great questions. Thank you, all of you who sent the questions in. We're going to keep these on file and keep addressing them through various formats. But thank you for being a part of our healing school. And can we say a big thank you to our panel today? Thank you, guys, each one of you. Thank you so much.
And thank you to Daniel and Tracy, who've been with Healing School, I mean, and they've been overseeing this, and Daniel's directed this, what, since 2011? In fact, Ashley and Carly were there with them to start with, and
yeah.
And we really appreciate Daniel's leadership with Healing School. You guys, let's tell him we appreciate it.
Let's all stand to our feet this afternoon. I'm going to invite our prayer ministers to come up, and we want to give you, again, an opportunity to receive your healing that Jesus already provided for you 2,000 years ago. You know, we're not waiting for the forgiveness of our sins to manifest when we confess Jesus as Lord. We receive it, right? And the same atonement has forgiven all of our sin and healed all of our diseases. So we're so grateful for the work of Jesus, and again, so grateful for you being a part of our healing school this afternoon. We've got another great, great session planned tonight at 7 o'clock, and then, of course, tomorrow, as Andrew says, God never serves dessert first. So it's going to be another great day tomorrow as well. So, Father, we just thank you for our time together this afternoon. Thank you for this healing school. Thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity through Andrew and Jamie and this ministry and all of our partners who have helped to make this possible. Lord, as I think about these 11 years of healing schools and literally how many thousands of people around the world have had their lives changed and their family legacies changed, it's just simply incredible to think about the impact of the kingdom of God and how you have made a difference in each of our lives, all because of Jesus. We're so grateful, Lord God, and our hearts are filled with gratitude for all that you have done. And we know, Lord, that the best is yet to come. We do. We know that as good as this is, God, it's just going to go from glory to glory. You've got more for us. You've got greater things to show us. We've got more to do while we're here on the earth. And yet, God, even after we pass away from living on this physical earth, we're going to be able to be with you for eternity. And so, Father, we're so grateful for your love for us. Thank you that you love us, in a way that you accept us where we are, but you love us too much to leave us where we are. Thank you, Lord, that we are being called to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And in that, Lord, we're just not going to be willing any longer to be conformed to the ways of the world. Maybe the ways of the world think that sickness and disease is normal, but God, we're just not willing to live like that anymore. And so, Father, we thank you that through the power of the Holy Ghost and through the power of the Word of God, we can actually experience transformation. Spirit, soul, and body. Come on, one more time. Can we just lift up hands all over this place today and just give God a praise? Hallelujah. That he is our healer. Amen. He is the great physician. And all over the internet, wherever you are watching and joining us from today, come on, just take a minute and just lift up your hands and tell the Lord thank you. Lord, we bless you today. We bless you with lifted hands. Hands without wrath, hands without doubting, because of what you've done for us, Lord God. We give you thanks. We give you praise. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. If you want to receive healing, come out into the aisles. Our ushers will help direct you as we always do. The rest of you, you are dismissed. Go get a nap or get some afternoon lunch, whatever. And we look forward to having you back. Doors will open at 5:30, and the meeting starts at 7 o'clock tonight. We love you. God bless you.